Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. 2 years ago, the historic brown house in Wilmington was on the cusp of demolition that would pave the way for a new townhouse complex. But the 200-year-old building got a reprieve from the wrecking ball, and in the 2 years since, its fate has remained in limbo. Until now. Contributor Larry Nightingest explains what's next in the effort to preserve the brown house in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And he recently joined me to discuss where things go from here.
So let's go back 2 years. How close was the brown house to being torn down? And how did it avert that fate, to remind people what happened there?
Well, back in 2021, the city of Wilmington wanted the mansion to be demolished. Since 2015, the mansion, which had been vacant since the late 1990s, had been owned by this Wilmington Housing Partnership, which is kind of a quasi-governmental nonprofit agency that, for a variety of reasons, had become insolvent. And so an effort was being made to get rid of all of the properties that were that the partnership held title to. So tearing down the mansion, the city figured, would be one way of paving the way for a developer to build about 40 townhouses there and on the adjacent lots while getting it off the partnership's books. Now, historic preservationists and some residents in Browntown fought back, and they showed that the city hadn't met its own legal requirements for securing a demolition permit. So when they saw the community opposition, the developer that had been interested in possibly putting up townhouses in the area backed off, and then the city decided to work with this task force that was interested in preservation to study other possibilities.
And it's been 2 years of inaction since. Is there a reason it has lingered in limbo so long while they looked at these other possibilities?
Well, yeah. I mean, a couple of things. First of all, it did take about a year for the city to actually decide that its best approach moving forward was to give separate consideration to plans for the future of what's on the mansion site, which is just about 1 acre, and for the parcels of the land just to the east of it, which would also have been part of this larger townhouse project. Now, meanwhile, the task force that was interested in preserving the mansion had to find a developer, somebody who knew something about historic preservation, who would be interested in doing the work, and then they had to put together a plan and come up with cost figures, and these figures, they had to demonstrate to the city that this project was going to be feasible. So it really took about 2 years to reach that point, and I guess it was in January or February that they gave the city a plan, and the city is pretty much satisfied with it. Even so, some hurdles do remain.
So, as you said, there is some movement now. There's a plan, and part of making that plan a reality is a variance request for the property. Let's talk specifically about the plan itself for the building that's requiring that variance. What are they trying to do?
Well, you know, the zoning classification for this 200-year-old building is single-family residential because that's what its original use was. But frankly, there's no way anybody would want to live in a 6,000-square-foot home, no matter how historic it might be, in a neighborhood that is largely filled with much smaller townhouses. So for the mansion's restoration plan to go through, the developer and the city need to get a variance so that it's permitted to use this building as a multifamily apartment structure.
So with that plan in mind, what do we know about the developer who's floating it and their track record with historic properties like this one?
Well, the developer, the Zahav Group, does keep a fairly low profile, although they operate with a number of different LLC designations. But I've been told that they've been involved in several other rehab projects around the city and that they do have some experience working with historic properties. The key here, though, is that the project manager that's been working actually with the task force and now with Zahav Group is Jane Katz-Nelson. And she has done this kind of work before. She is currently the resident curator at Woodstock, which is the mansion in Banning Park, the Newcastle County Park that's about a mile and a half away from Browntown. And Jane Katz-Nelson has been praised for her work in restoring that property and making it a showpiece for the county's resident curatorship program.
So you mentioned some hurdles that remain. What are some of those hurdles that this particular project to create a multi-apartment building faces to make that a reality?
Well, I think the greatest hurdle perhaps is what's unknown in this one. And I think we've seen this any number of times before on initiatives that involve some form of historic preservation. The developers have a preliminary budget of about $484,000, but that assumes that they're not going to find too many expensive surprises inside the walls or under the floors when they start doing their restoration work. Now, they're also counting on getting grants from organizations that support preservation initiatives, and in all likelihood, they're going to be applying for some historic preservation tax credits to finance the project, whether that be from the state or from the federal government. Now, ultimately, their budget anticipates renting the apartments for $1,000 to $1,600 a month, which to me seems reasonable in terms of the current market, but they're also planning on collecting about $10,000 in revenue from renting the two community rooms that would be on the ground floor of the mansion. And one of these rooms would essentially be a community-type meeting room, and the other was going to be in an after-school space for neighborhood youth. So it's not really clear how this rental income is going to be derived. My suspicion is that they're probably looking for a nonprofit, Boys and Girls Club, something like that, that might come in and rent the community room space and provide services there. Not sure about the other part of it. Now, the other thing here is that time is a factor. The proposal anticipates that the rental units are going to be ready for occupancy sometime in 2025, approximately 2 years from now. But, if there are delays in getting approvals, that's going to wind up increasing costs. We know that there are always supply chain issues and things like that. So, if there are any hurdles, any further delays, that's going to postpone the start of a positive cash flow for the developers as well.
So your piece does note that this plan also faces some pushback as a potential hurdle. What are some of the concerns being raised about this iteration of the future for the Brown House?
Well, the Browntown community isn't entirely sold on the plan. And now, I suspect that there are probably still some residents who consider that old mansion to be an eyesore. And there are others who believe, and I heard this at the zoning board hearing, that the apartment units, no matter what kind of quality they are going to lower the property values of structures, homes that are owner occupied. Parking is another longtime issue in Browntown, but from what I'm hearing, that should not be a big issue with this particular project. The big concern, it seems, is that the residents feel that they've been left out of the planning. Now, the leader of the Civic Association points out that they stood up in the fight to prevent the demolition of the mansion, but since then, they say they haven't heard a whole lot about the details of what the restoration of the mansion would involve. Now, Jane Katznelson and the developers are going to give the Civic Association an update at a meeting on May 24th, and presumably that's going to at least clarify matters somewhat, and we'll give the community a little bit better feel for what's going on, and hopefully we'll clarify what the community's position is on the project.
You mentioned earlier the adjacent property was supposed to be part of the big project that was going to be placed on that particular site if the Brown Mansion was demolished. What's going to be done with that now? Where does things stand with that adjacent property and what it could look like in the future?
Well, as I mentioned, the city decided last year to consider redevelopment programs proposals for that site separately from whatever would happen with the Brown Mansion. Now, the city is now having preliminary meetings with another developer who is interested in building 30 or more townhouses on this parcel, which is east of the mansion and downhill from it. And if you've been there, you'll know that it's steeply downhill. City officials say that they're still negotiating with the developer on how many townhouses would be built and how they might be aligned on that parcel.
So having said all of this, what's the status of most immediately the variance request, and you know, where do things go from here and moving this thing forward?
Well, you know, unless some new obstacles develop, the variance issue should come back before the city's zoning board of adjustment in June or maybe in July. And by then we'll know, as I said, where the Civic Association stands, and we'll also see how well the developers have made their case. It's clear that the city wants this done. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed off on the application for the variance. And with demolition off the table, doing nothing is hardly an option at this point.
So bottom line, it looks like the Brown House will survive in some form. And I guess in the realm of historic preservation these days, that's a pretty good outcome, right?
Yeah, well, you know, most definitely. And assuming that the current plans can be carried out, this project looks like it could be quite a good example of what's known as adaptive reuse, preserving and restoring as much of the exterior as possible, repurposing the interior according to recognized standards for historic preservation, and creating spaces for some community uses as well. Now, accomplishing all of this is definitely easier said than done. But if it's done, it will preserve a community landmark, and it's going to remind residents of today's Brown Town that of the accomplishments of the leaders who shaped that neighborhood two centuries ago.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nightingale for his time on The Green this week. His piece on plans to preserve the Brown House in Wilmington is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We examine the health effects social media can have on kids and teens following the U.S. Surgeon General's advisory this week. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.